So we'll start with a vort, Parshas Tzav. Actually, I think Rav Sham Shapur Hirsch says this, but I may be not doing it justice the way you understand it. But in the very beginning of the Parsha, it says in the Pasuk, the very beginning, V'lova shakoyin midoy bad, u'michnasei bad yilbash al besoroi. Koyin wears bindoy bad, his big day kahuna, harem is hadeshina shatoichalu eishes o oila mizbeach, and he removes from the ashes of the leftovers on the mizbeach the somoy eitzel mizbeach. This was an avoida, this was the first avoida of the day, and it was, or you can look at it as a hemshech of the avoida of yesterday. But he puts that down next to the mizbeach. So the point over here is that what he's saying is we're starting today, but we're taking from what was left from yesterday's ashes. And the message is that all of our avoda is nothing more than a continuation of what was done by the past generations. We're just, what we do today is no different than what our great-great-grandparents did many, many years ago. That's the avoida that we have, and that's how you start each day in the Beis HaMikdash. That what we're saying is today is a hemshech of yesterday, which was a hemshech of the day before. We're not mechadesh anything, we're just a mamshech in the avoidas hakodesh of all the previous doyrus. That's the avoida of Trumas Hadeshim. The next pasuk says, "Uposhet es begodov, belovash begodim acherim, oitzi es hadeshin el michutz lamachne el mokum tor." The next chelik of the avoda is hoitzoas hadeshin. That means you take the ashes that are on the marocha and you remove them from the marocha to make the marocha totally clean, and therefore you have a new day. And this avoda is the pshat that we're starting fresh. Today is a new haschola. It's not in the same way a hemshech of yesterday in what I'm doing, but every person has to feel that I can be mamshech in the avoda with my mahalach, my style, even though I'm being mamshech, the derech of my father and my grandfather, my great-grandfather. But for me, there's a new marocha. I have to do it my way, with my personality, with the koichas HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me. So we remove everything from the past, and we say, okay, it starts with you. You are a new haschola, and you have to do it with your koichas, with your initiative, with your personality. So, in other words, on one hand, we do the same thing. On the other hand, each person has to do it differently. I think I once mentioned this, but I can understand it better with this maisa that I heard from Rabbi Lopez Cordoza, who tells over the story that he used to teach in Eish HaTorah, one of his yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, and the people tainted to him, why do we have to daven the same thing every day? Why can't we just make up our own tefillahs? So we said, okay, tomorrow we're making up our own tefillahs. And he said, davening took about 3-4 minutes, and nobody had anything else to say. He says, okay, now we're going back to the regular stuff. But he explained, he said, what's the pshat? He said, in the summer, once in Eretz Yisrael, his neighbor was practicing, his neighbor was a violinist, and was practicing a certain piece of classical music. And he's been, you know, the whole summer he's listening to this neighbor practice this piece because he's got his windows open, and you know, so he, by now he knows the piece by heart. And then he sees a sign that the Israeli Philharmonic is playing Punkel Schwitz Stickel, and it's being featured with the Yehudi Menuhin at the violin. So he tells his wife, I'm going, because in case he makes any mistakes, I'll be able to correct him. So he goes to the concert, and he comes back, and he goes to his neighbor. He says, I think you've been changing the notes of Stickel, because what I heard tonight was not what I've been hearing the whole song. So he says, Chas v'shalom, you don't change the notes of the master. But the way Yehudi Menuhin can express that, those notes, I can't do that. I'm not him, right? And so he goes on to say he heard the same concert again from Isaac Stern. And also, the point is that the notes, nobody changes. Nobody changes the notes of the Torah. Nobody changes the notes of the Anshei Knesset, those children. But we all play them with our own different way of expressing it. You know, some people, they daven like a violinist. Some people daven like a drummer. Some people, you know, blow the trombone, whatever it is. Everybody has their approach and their mahalach. So the Trumas Hadeshen is saying, we're not doing anything different, but you have to find your mahalach, how are you going to do it? And so I think that also stels to a shtickle to the Seder, and that the Torah says, Kenei Bonim Dibro Torah. It means to say the Torah addresses every person has a gisha. The Torah is concerned, how are you going to talk to the Chacham, the Rosh, not just Chacham, Rosh, and Tinek, the Shein, the Yiddish. The Torah wants to be able to address every person and find his access to the Torah HaKadosh. And so you start with Kenegat Abravonim Dibre Torah. And it's interesting that Rabbi Yashin says the word on the Haggadah, that it says in the beginning of Haggadah that Maisa, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Tarfin, Rabbi Lozer ben Azai, Shem Yisubim ben Ebarak. So he says, you know, what's the Haggadah telling us that these people stayed up and talked about Yetzias Mitzrayim? I mean, Lamaisa, every year they're supposed to do that, and the Stumma, all the Tanoim and Amiroyim did it throughout the Doris. What is the uniqueness that they did it? So Rabbi Yashu says, he says, the Torah is pointing out, who are these people that talked about Yetzias Mitzrayim? First, Rabbi Lozer, Lozer ben Horkanis, at the age of 28, had not learned the word of Torah. He went to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who taught him how to bench. So you're talking about somebody who either had a very shvacha cup, or whatever it was, but by 28 he had not yet learned anything, and he was crying, he wanted to learn till Elio Novi told him to go to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Then you have Rabbi Akiva, who didn't start learning till he was 40. He became an Odom Godel. Then you had Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, who was so poor that the walls of his house were black from poverty and from his job as a blacksmith, and yet he became a great Talmid Chacham. He had Rabbi Lozer ben Azari, who was only an 18-year-old kid, and he became the Nasi of Klal Yisrael, despite the fact that he was younger than everybody else. And Rabbi Tarfin, who was extremely wealthy, and he could have been busy with his assets all day long, and yet he became one of the greatest Tanoi. He says, the Torah is telling us, and Haggadah is telling us, that it doesn't matter who you are. Everybody can have a shaykhus, everybody can grow and become a great person, and everybody has to sit and talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. So I think that shtels too to what we started to say, that each person has to have his mahalach and is a shaykh to become a great person. Now, I want to go off a little bit on a tangent, but because the Lezer Shaykhus will come back to. But there's a kasher of Matis Yo Solomon asks, that he says that Lamaisa, we start off the Seder, and we say, Lashata Hocha Lashana Habo Ba'arav Yisrael. We end the Seder, Lashana Habo B'Yushalayim. We don't end it, but at the end of we say, Lashana Habo B'Yushalayim. So he says, Lamaisa, we do this year after year after year. My father did it, my grandfather did it, my great-grandfather did it, and yet we're still in Golis. And yet we vise such a tremendous gisha to wanting to come back to Eretz Yisrael, to wanting to have the Geula, and yet, you know, Kolukol Akitzim, and here we're still here. So Rav Matis Yoh says, what is the problem? Chafetz Chaim talks about this. Chafetz Chaim says, what's the problem? He says, if they would get up and say, you know, we can have the Beis Hamikdash built, we just need money. And there'd be a couple of people come forward and say how much you need. And there'd be a few yidden who'd be able to put it all together overnight. It wouldn't be a major problem. If that's what it takes, you know, we could have a charity campaign that would, you know, the paper would be coming down for hours and hours, right? You know, it would be unbelievable. So what's the problem? He said, the problem is that the Churban was because of Sinas Chinam. And any doyer that the Beis Hamikdash is not built is a riot. We still have that problem. We're still living with a problem of Sinas Chinam. So, great Rav Matis Yoh, if that's the case, so the Seder, we betzach, and we say, Lashana Bo B'Yerushalayim, so there should be something in the Seder that addresses this problem. What are we going to do with the sinas chinam? How are we going to get out of this golus if we still have sinas chinam? So he says, indeed there is. He says, where do you find it? He says, you find that we dip twice by the Seder. Once we dip the karpas in the salt water, and then we dip the motor in the chavosis. He says, what are these two dippings merumas to? The first dipping is merumas to that which it says, by yitbalu esakasoinus badam. When they sold Yosef, they dipped his ksoinus pasim in the blood of the Seirizim. And the second dipping is keneged the agudas ezoiv that they dipped into the saf and they put it on the mezuzas habayis. And so he says, what is the pshat? You want to be misaking the fate of mechiras Yosef, which is remumis in the first dipping. And you have to come to the darga where we took an agudas ezoiv. Aguda was a bundle. Ezoiv was the hyssop. It's a small little plant. It represents modesty. And aguda represents being together. If people would humble themselves and become unified, and then we would be able to bring Mashiach. That's the dipping, the merirus. You can take away the merirus of the morer, the merirus of golus, with that idea of remembering that second dipping of the agudas ezoiv in the dam. And through that united reaction of Klal Yisrael and that element of humility, we would be able to remove the problem. So he brings down that we find that Meshech Chochmah says a fascinating thing. On Yom Kippur, we at the end of the bracha, the bracha of the Yom, we say Kiyato Solchan LeYisrael Umochalon LeShiftei Yisurin LeChol Dor V'Dor. He says, what are these two things? You never find such a lashon. So he says, the two aveiros that we suffer from throughout history, there's the aveira of the chet egel, and there's the aveira of mechiras Yosef. He says, the aveira of the chet egel is ben odom l'mokam. The aveira of mechiras Yosef led to sin as chinam, which is ben odom l'chaveira. He says, when we make the bracha at the end, we say, Ki ata solchon liyisrael, you forgive Klal Yisrael. The mochlon l'shiftei yeshurun, that's the chait that was started by the shvotim, l'shiftei yeshurun, b'chol dor b'dor. So each generation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgive us for those averus. Obviously, you can be moichel us for the averus on some level, but if we don't, not misakin it as a cloud, we're still going to be in golus. So he brings down from Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, says a fascinating thing. He says, "Kine yodua ki klal yisol soivil tamen mishnei dvarim." There's two things we suffered from. Bibachutz me alilas dam. There was such a thing as a blood libel. Ki ashehu dover niflum oid. He says it's a plea. Kari achlal hu shakol shekesh ein b'kortiv shel emes ene yochel eskayim. Generally speaking, if something is sheker and it has no morsel of emes, it doesn't last. There's not the slightest drop of emes in this blood libel. So Rabbi Chanan was talking probably in the early 1900s, but he says still, you know, there was a blood libel then in Russia at the time. So he says, this is mamish a plea. There's probably for an aveira that we did that we're being punished for. He says, "Lule sheineni kedai." If it wouldn't be that I don't feel myself worthy, hoyisi oimer ki mechuvin neged oven shel vayitbalu vakutoynis badam. It's keneged the aveira of vayitbalu vakutoynis badam. He says, "Mshagisi Hashem yichbabadi." If I'm making a mistake, let Hashem forgive me.
Which
aveira? The aveira of the brothers dipping the ktoynis in the dam. So he says, this is what Matan Siob was referring to with the idea. So so that's why also you find that we say there's a pasuk that says Hispiani bamaroirim heroini lano. You satiated me with mortar, and I suffered from wormwood. Whatever. Very. And so the klal is that whenever the first day of Pesach comes out, that's when Tisha B'Av is going to be. So this year Pesach is first day's Thursday, Tisha B'Av is brought on Thursday, right? What's the pshat? So the Rama says that one of the reasons why you have a beitza on the Seder plate is because of the avelus of the Churban. What's the pshat? Also, Maruna is that the day of Pesach is going to be the same day as Tisha B'Av, which the message is, if you want not to have to celebrate Tisha B'Av, learn the lesson on Pesach of the two tibulim and the fact that these 2 days come out the same way, and then you have an eitzah. So the question is, what can you do about it, right? How do you take away this problem of sinas chinam? How can we come through the Seder to be misakin it? There's a remez in it, but what is there on Pesach that can help us be misakin this problem? So I think that perhaps basically the yesoid of the Seder, the yesoid of Pesach, is to develop our emun in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the emun of Hashkocha Protus. There's a famous Ramban, everybody probably knows it by heart, but Ramban says that, he says, I'm going to tell you a klal in many mitzvahs. He goes on to say, from the beginning of creation, there were people who denied the existence of the Ribbono Shel, and then there were those who said HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, but he's not really involved. He knows what's going on, but he doesn't care. Or those who say he doesn't know what's going on. Those who say he knows what's going on, but he doesn't involve himself. So he said that the Ribbono Shel showed by Yitzias Mitzrayim all of that to be sheker. Is when some being comes and intervenes with what's going on in the world, and he shows that he can do miracles, and he cares for what's going on, and he takes a nation out of slavery, and he talks to a leader, he shows us that Hashem is in control, and he created the world, that he cares about what's going on, he's aware of what's going on, and he interacts with what's going on, and he communicates with people in the world. So you learn all the yesoides of Emun and HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he goes on to say that's why we have so many mitzvahs that are connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim, because the Ribbono Shel is not going to do miracles in every generation. So what he does is he taught us Yetzias Mitzrayim, and he gives us mitzvahs throughout the year, Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. And every day when Maski Yetzias Mitzrayim, when we say Kriya Shema, and you think about Yetzias Mitzrayim because it's in your tefillin, and the Shel Yad and the Shel Roish, and it's on the mezuzah when you walk into your house. And we have many mitzvahs every Shabbos is Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Our whole lives are centered around Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the purpose is that we should come to know that the Ribbono Shel Olam feared the veld, and he controls everything. And so when you come to the darga of feeling that you're going out of Mitzrayim, and you have the kayim, the sedek, and the boy, and you feel like you're going out of Mitzrayim. We spoke about the other night, how it's Mesugal in the night itself, and the Mitzvah's Halayla, to have that Hargosha. So when you come to that Emuna, Dargud Emuna, it's L'chayra a lot easier to deal, perhaps, with Sinas Chinam. Because what is the pshat in Sinas Chinam? I resent another person. Whether I resent him because he has something I don't have, or whether we got into an argument with each other and I can't get over it. But if a person learns to feel that it's all the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's not him, it's Ribbono Shel Olam wants it this way. And that's the way you have to look at life. Somebody ba'abled me, or somebody, it was that's what Hashem wanted. And I look at it because it was the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what it's all about. And then you have to take that and do something with it. Like I saw a maisa brought down that there was a family that had a child that was very sick. They had to come. They spoke to Rabbi Fierer, guided them to America to a top surgeon in that field. They come to the hospital, and they paid a lot of money to get to America. They're borrowing money. They're owing money now. They come to America. They come to the hospital the day of the surgery. And somebody comes out and says, there's a strictly problem over here. The scalpel that is used for this very delicate surgery is dented. We have to get another one from Germany. It'll take about a week and a half, and therefore we're going to have to push off the surgery. So the family is mamish to bracha. Like they don't know what they're going to do. They have to stay in America now another week and a half, and it's going to cost them more money, and they've been waiting, and they prep their child, and it's a sakana. But they say, as I hope, that's what the Rebbe Hashem wanted. Else is good. If the Rebbe Hashem wanted it this way, you know, called over Rachmon Lutav, Makabel. There was an Italian family that was also waiting that surgery. They were not as accepting. And they went into the office of the doctor, and Imamish wreaked havoc, and they went crazy. And because they were so violent, the hospital had to do something, so they sent the person to Germany on the spot, and he came back with a scalpel the next day. Right? So the Imamish, the hospital knew they had to do something. So, okay, they finally go into the surgery the next day, and after the surgery, the doctor, who they came to America to see this doctor, he tells him that he didn't do the surgery, his assistant did the surgery. So the Vaiter are very upset, you know, we came all the way because you were the top doctor, and it turns out that your assistant did the surgery, like Shkoyach, we didn't need this. But again, they didn't say anything. That's what the Eibishter wanted. Okay. 5 years later, the Machla comes back. And they go back to America. And they find out that now the top doctor in the field is the assistant of this guy who now is the chief doctor. And he comes in and they tell him the name, whatever the name was, Schwartz or whatever. And he says, Schwartz, Yaakov Schwartz, you were my first patient. You know something? Out of courtesy, I'm not charging for the surgery. I'll do the whole thing for free. He did the whole thing for free, and the kid was healed. And so the Eibishter had a idea that this is all going to happen. Had they fatayned zich and screamed and not been mekabel, they wouldn't have gotten this, you know, he would have remembered they caused them a heartache, and it wouldn't have been so nice to them. But because they were mekabel, it didn't make an issue, so they were zeichet to see Moir Dika Yeshuis. You know, so sometimes you have to go against your nature. That's why somebody says, the matzah is round, right? The world is round, right? Things just happen, right? So you have to break your teva and break the matzah in half. If you break your teva, you don't go with the flow. You have to be makir, and that's the way it is. So that's the idea. If a person can come to the darga, that Abe's the fear developed. He did this to me, he did that to me. It's all the Rebbeinu Shalom. They say, Pnei Ador to Pnei Hakela, right? The dog attacks a stick that hits him. And the people today, that's what they, you know, if somebody ba'avels you, you go, you come a soine movas, right? That's not the point. That's a little bit about Yeshua. If you can recover it that way, so you come to a madrega where you can fatrog what other people do. You don't have to be all fatayinim. And hopefully, the more we become aminim in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we realize it's all the Eibishter, so in that vein, we come to a much higher madrega in our Avodas Hashem. So that's my machshava. Now, shared Agav Urcha, I just turned a Moridika Maisa. Did not do what I said, but I just think it's enough. Heard it from Y.Y. Jacobson, tells over the story. Tell it in. So he says that in 1962, the Israelis captured Adolf Eichmann, and they brought him to Eretz Yisrael. And there was a Yid who was in charge of watching him, and who eventually was the one who hung him. And his name was Sholom Begara. He was a Yemenite Jew, from a Yid, and his job was to watch him. Now, the government did not release the name of the executioner because they figured the neo-Nazis would try to take revenge. So for 40 years, nobody knew who this guy was. After 40 years went by, they felt it was safe enough and they released his name. So right away, the German media got in touch with him and said, we want to do an interview. He says, fine. So they said, we'll find a nice restaurant or a studio. He says, no. You want to do the interview, that's fine, but you're doing it in my kolel. He's a 7-year-old kid. He learned in a Yemenite kolel, 60, 70 not so young Avreichim, and you know, it's
Tutzach
play. What?
Not
with the Pirkei Kol. Mamish, but it's a Lebedika place. You know, inspired them a lot of screaming. So it's Tutzach. So okay, they come to the Kol to do the interview. And, you know, he goes through what happened, like he said over, that they had him taste all the food they gave to Eichmann. If he didn't die after tasting it for 3 minutes, they gave it to Eichmann. So he said to the guy in charge, he says, I don't understand, I'm chopped liver, right? You know, I'm going to have to taste the stuff before he does. So he says, listen, you know, for you I have a replacement. I don't have replacement for Eichmann. We got to keep him alive. So, in any case, so they go, they do the interview, and okay, very good. Then the last question they ask him, he asks you one last question. He says, yeah, he says, why did we have to do the interview here, in this place? You know, what the place looks like. You know, we could have gone to a beautiful restaurant. This place, this forum all over the place, and there's, you know, the coffee spilling all over the place. This is where you want. He says, I'll tell you why. He says, I knew that when the German media is going to say they're interviewing the guy who killed Eichmann, there's going to be 2 million Germans watching this. And I wanted to send a message that you should know that we didn't just survive the Holocaust. We didn't just hang on and live. Everything you tried to destroy is alive and well. You burned millions of our books, and you wanted to kill our rabbis. You're back. We're alive and we're well, and we're learning Torah and we're living Torah, and that's what we're all about. And you haven't destroyed anything. And I wanted to give that message. That was his yisoy. And so this is he tells too, but this is the Gemara in the Sechtes Avodah Zarah that they took Chanina Tradian to be killed. They wrapped him up in a sefer Torah and they burnt him. And the Talmidim said, Rebbe, what do you see? He says, Gevillim Nisrofim the Oisiyos Porchus Beyavir. You can destroy the Gevillim, but the Oisiyos Porchus Beyavir, you can't destroy the Torah. The concept, the idea, who we are, you can't take away. We will continue to survive. We'll kill some people, but Chal Yisrael will never die. We will survive as a people. And I think that's also what we say by the Seder, the Isha Ondala Veseinu. So if I say, what is the Behi? Behi is the Torah. It wasn't just one nation wanted to wipe us out. We're whole door by door. But because we have the Torah, we continue learning Torah, and we have a Messiah, they'll never destroy Klal Yisrael. That's the way to say that. We understand. We give that over to our children, to the Torah divers. That's what we say. We have the Torah. That's the Messiah of God. Some ask that, you know, in Behisha Umda, so you have, we lift up the kais, and we sing it. So what do you sing? Shemchol Dover Dor Oyindim Aleinu L'chal Yisein? Maybe the last line, the Kodesh Baruch Hu Matzi Leinu V'yodah, but what are you singing? Behisha Umda, what's the shot? He said, so, somebody gives a mashal that you have this poor person, he lived in a hut someplace outside of town. Mom is poor, like nothing. The house was a shack, you know. It was like a bunking camp, like not a house. And one day, Yishver gives him a house. Yishver was no big veer, but he had a house. He gives it to him. They move into the house. Got your house. The house had leaks in the ceiling. The walls weren't good, so the wind blew through the walls. The floorboards were shaky because there were mice running on the floorboard. But it was a house. It was not such a great house, but it was better than the shack. A couple of nights, they're sleeping there. Suddenly, they hear somebody trying to break into the door. The guy runs to the door. He screams at the guy. He runs away. A few nights later, somebody else is trying to break in. Every few nights, there's Ganovin trying to break into the house. He says to his wife, what's going on over here? You know, Bishlam, we had a beautiful house. I can understand there's something to steal. But this is a shack. What do they want? There must be a treasure buried under the ground. And so, sure enough, you know, they picked up the floorboards and they found the treasure. He says, if every door they're trying to destroy us, we must have something so precious that That must be what the Goyim want. What do they care for Klal Yisrael, the small little speck on a map, right? Why don't you go after Venezuela or Brazil, right? What was Vilstuf on Eretz Yisrael? Weistachoist is something so choshev that if all the umesh v'choldor v'dor, that means we have a treasure that's the greatest thing. That's what we sing. V'hisha omer l'abiseinim, right? Because the Torah we have is what's omer l'abiseinim, and that's what the Goyim resent us for. Yet Hashem, we should be zeicher. May tzeischem yeretz Mitzrayim and ren neflois, we should be zeicher to overcome sin and become amadev from Yet Hashem.